Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here one more day with Ralph Martin. He's been with us all week long talking about some really inspiring and profound stuff, beginning with Jesus' powerful, beautiful prayer, his high priestly prayer, praying to the Father that we could share in the unity between the Father and the Son. It seems kind of out there and hard to grasp its meaning, but the Holy Spirit wants to help us see this amazing gift that Jesus is passionately and totally committed to bringing to every human being if we open our hearts to him. This is his mission. This is the essence of what really the church exists. It's the beginning place where this mission of Jesus takes place here on earth and in the body of Christ. And so if you didn't have a chance to tune into the program this week, I'd strongly encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. You can listen to them right on your computer or download them, whatever device you would find helpful. You can listen to them anytime, night or day. So welcome back, Ralph.
Thanks, Pete. It's great to be back. And it's such a privilege we have to be seeking God like we are and to be trying to understand his word and his plan and then to be able to share it with others. It really is a privilege.
The thought comes to mind, Ralph, as we're beginning the program. You know, the United States, we're experiencing kind of rash of suicides again. Not only people who are drug addicted and dealing with the opiate crisis and all that. I mean, that's there. But then these big cultural icons who seem to have it all together are taking them. I mean, that's a sign of ultimate despair. And even people who look like they have everything the world could possibly give you to be satisfied, it's not enough. And they're in a spiritual battle and they don't know it. Mm-hmm. And this is how the devil wants everybody to end their life, right? In ultimate despair, without hope, there's nothing beyond this. And Jesus has come to reveal what's beyond this and to give it to us. And one of the reasons why people get to that place is they don't know what they don't know. They don't know that there's real life, there's real hope, there's real joy that's possible. And the only satisfying source of it is God himself. Mm-hmm. And that's what we've been talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. And Jesus tells us the devil is the father of lies and a murderer. He desires to kill people, to destroy their life here on this earth and eternally separate them from God. And we're doing battle here, Peter, on this radio program with the Word of God. We're using the spiritual weapons of the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and the shield of faith, which extinguishes the fiery darts of the evil one. People are defenseless. They don't have the spiritual armor. They don't have what they need to discern what's coming into their minds and hearts. They need to have the shield of faith. They need to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to have faith in his word. So they're equipped against the sea and ocean of lies that are trying to lead people to misery on this life and telling them lies about themselves. And so we just have to equip people like you're doing every day, every week on this program with the word of God so they have a weapon to defend themselves against the one who's trying to lead them to destruction.
You know, we've been talking this week about union with God. So the enemy stands against that union. Yes. So he's one of our enemies. The world, the flesh, and the devil are the three great things we battle against, right?
The devil doesn't want us to share in the glory of Jesus.
Right,
he doesn't
absolutely.
Want us to be where Jesus
That's
is.
The last thing. I mean, he's full of jealousy and anger and rage
against God's
plan.
He doesn't
want
human beings to share in the glory of God.
Right,
no,
right.
He hates us.
And so, but another area we battle against is the flesh. It's that dimension in us that we don't want the will of God. There's something in us that's fallen, that's broken, part of our sinful nature. Yeah. There's a dimension there. And sin itself becomes an obstacle to this union. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be helpful to just talk about it. I mean, it seems obvious, but I don't think it's talked about enough in a way that's helpful and instructive for people.
No. You know, you're right, Peter. Besides all the positive things we're talking about to develop a relationship with the Lord and give the Holy Spirit more freedom to sanctify us, we have to be realistic that you can't put these blessings on top of sin. You can't have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. You got to get both feet in the kingdom. You can't be a double-minded. You can't be living a double life. You really got to deal with sin in your life. And so one of the first things the saints say about sin is that sin never helps. And now you might think that's so obvious it's not worth saying, but it's really important to know that because the very nature of temptation is to tell us that sin will help.
Yes.
Hey, you're experiencing sexual temptation. Give into it. You'll feel more peaceful later. Hey, you're experiencing financial pressure. Take some money from your company. You know, you won't feel so stressed out about your finances. You hate your neighbor? Yeah, give into it. You'll feel better after it later, you know, type of thing. So the very nature of temptation is to tell us the huge lie that sin's actually going to help us and bring us to a happiness or solve a problem we have, but it just puts us further back from the happiness. It puts us further back from the love. We're further back than ever into the loneliness, into the anxiety, into the anguish of life apart from Christ. So the first thing we've got to do is say, look, sin never helps. We've got to make a decision to turn away from sin.
And, you know, back to the earlier point about the suicide and stuff, Ralph, is that sin, and I've seen in isolation, it comes across like it's not going to hurt us. And then, oh, even if it does, it's not going to be that bad. But what ends up happening is we keep saying yes to sin. We give the devil permission to beat us up. We start getting distance from God because we're choosing to be distant from God. And so we're subject to much more spiritual combat and getting beat up by the devil, who is step by step leading us to ultimate despair.
Yeah.
So this is why the saints are just radically opposed to even the smallest sin. Sometimes when you read the saints, even a small, we call them venial sin, is something that they say, don't even do that.
Yeah.
Don't give the devil a foothold in your life.
Right.
Right?
Right. Yeah. Teresa of Avila, for instance, will say, even though it looks like a little thing to freely choose to offend the Lord in a small matter, it's no little thing to freely choose to offend the Lord. If we're interested in growing in a love relationship, just like in a human relationship, if you tell me that teasing you about your big ears, and I'm just not really looking at your ears here at all, you don't have big ears, but anyway, you know, if a friend says, hey, stop teasing me about my big ears, we say, oh, it's just too good, it's just too funny, I'm going to keep doing it. You're freely choosing to do something that puts a little distance in the relationship and causes a little pain for the other person, and we don't want to do that. We don't want anything between us and the Lord. So even in little things, the saints, they make a decision to never freely choose to offend the Lord, even in a small matter. And God will give us the grace to do that. But the first order of business is turning away from serious sin. Now these days, when you talk about serious sin, people may not know what you're really talking about, because for many years now, they've heard things like, well, God's not so concerned about these little personal things, and the church is too hung up on, you know, the bedroom and all that kind of stuff. And God's really concerned about big issues of social justice and world peace and the environment. And it's true that God's concerned about those big issues, you know, and they all have a moral dimension to them that we need to take seriously. But God is still very concerned about those most personal decisions that, as a matter of fact, most personally impact our own souls and the life of other people and the souls of other people and the bodies of other people. So that means we have to recall, the Holy Spirit has to bring to our mind again in the church today, clarity about these areas. For example, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul says, don't let anybody deceive you. The immoral will not enter the kingdom of God. Now,
could you repeat that? I think it's just important for us to hear it again.
Don't let anybody deceive you. The immoral will not enter the kingdom of God. And then Paul goes on to spell out what he means here. The fornicator, the adulterer, the person who engages in homosexual activity, the thief, the robber, the drunkard, the idolater will not enter the kingdom of God. But then the good news, he goes on to say, some of you were involved with this behavior, but you've been set free by the power of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. So this is required. We need to turn away from these serious sins. Now, in our culture today, there's such a huge deception here, isn't there, Peter?
Mm-hmm.
People are saying, oh, the church has got to change with its times. It's got to be, you've got to kind of adjust to the culture. We're in a different place today. It's a horrible lie, because these particular sins relating to marriage and sexuality really are objectively damaging to the human person, and they exclude us. They offend God tremendously, and they'll exclude us from the kingdom of God unless we repent.
One of the craziest things that's happening is that we're identifying with our sin. Like we're somehow finding our identity there. Someone who says, I can't, to a guy who's a serial adulterer. So look, I just can't be monogamous. I can't be that.
That's
not who I am.
Yeah, right.
And so I'm being faithful to who I am. I'm just being honest with who I am.
Yeah.
And I'm living in accord with my deepest desires, and I'm honest enough to say it. So I'm actually a good person doing this because I'm being honest with myself. And all that silliness. So they're being identified with a sin that's profoundly offensive to God, and the devil loves it. He just fills us with people saying, yes, I'm being true to myself, and I'm being honest, and I'm good. And we're convinced, trying to convince ourselves that the behavior that we are enslaved to, that we think we can't live without, is a, somehow the source of identity. This is a form of idolatry because it denies the real source of our life and energy and identity, which is God himself.
It's the creature deciding for himself what's right and wrong rather than listening to God tell us why he created us. I mean, how foolish not to pay attention to the person to whom we owe our existence.
Yeah.
And how foolish not to pay attention to what he says, why he created us. He created us for union with him. And he's given us a pathway how to be one with him. And we're just absolutely fools not to take seriously the word of God, because our human happiness and our eternal happiness are totally dependent on it. And Peter, 1 Corinthians 6 isn't an isolated text. Galatians chapter 5, Paul goes through a very similar list and he says, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do these things will not enter the kingdom of God. Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says, the impure man, it's because of the impure man will not enter the kingdom of God. It is because of this that the wrath of God is breaking out against the world. Revelations, the fornicator, the idolater, the miser will be thrown into the lake of fire. I mean, these are profoundly offensive sins to God because they're profoundly, they're profound rebellions against his purpose in creating the human race, the profound distortions of his own image in which he created us. And when you said before that, being true to myself, when people do these things, they're being true to their fallen self. They're being true to the distorted self. They're being true to their disordered self. They're being true to their wounded self. But Jesus has come to rescue us from that and to heal those wounds and to bring us into the true purpose of who we are. And we need to obey the word of God. Jesus says, if you love me, do what I'm asking you to do.
Yeah, no,
you
it's
can't,
really...
You can't put Jesus, you can't put the Holy Spirit on top of sin.
No, you can't. And that you're never going to grow. You're never going to go anywhere. You're going to remain in this perpetual state of slavery, really, is
and
what it
confusion
is.
Confusion.
Yeah. And you can see that the conniving of the world, the flesh and the devil at the same time. The flesh is saying, this is me, this is who I am.
Yeah.
And then the world's coming in and saying, yes, it is you. And the world's pressure is coming to say, don't you ever deny people their right and their freedom to be true to themselves.
Yeah.
That's what love is. That's what being a good person is. And if you don't affirm that habit pattern of sin, in other words, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
You're mean, you're hateful, you're intolerant, all that kind of stuff. So this is the spiritual conflict that we're in.
Yeah, and it takes real clarity about the authority and truthfulness and reliability of God's word in order to stand against the lies. And unfortunately, there's just way too much silence in the church today. People are not being told the truth they need to hear. They're not being equipped with the spiritual armor they need to have to resist this. And so that's why your program and other programs are so important in bringing the word of God to people.
Ralph, we just have a minute left, and people could be listening to the program and thinking, I feel like I'm so embattled in this stuff, and I'm stuck, and I can't get out, and I just feel terrible. I don't even like to think about it because it makes me feel guilty and full of shame. What should I do?
They should avail themselves with as many of the resources that we've developed at Renewal Ministries as possible. We have a lot of stuff that can help people. We got Mary Healy's book on homosexuality. We got the stuff you've written about power of the Holy Spirit. We've got lots of great stuff for them. But in the meantime, they should kneel down right now at the end of the program and say, Lord, have mercy on me. I want to turn away. I want to get free. And then ask the Lord to give you wisdom. Avoid the near occasions of sin. Stop hanging out with people that cause you to sin. Throw out your computer if you're addicted to pornography, or put a program on it that will stop that. Get into an accountability group. Get into a 12-step group. Get support from somebody. Do whatever you have to do. Jesus says if your right eye causes you sin, pluck it out. If your right hand causes you sin, cut it off. Better to enter the kingdom of God missing an eye or an arm than to go into hell with a whole body.
Yeah, amen. And go to confession, too, if you can, and receive the grace of confession. So, friends, Ralph, it's been great having you here this week. Thanks so much for the wisdom and being able to share it together. Friends, take it to heart. God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.